So, guys, what's your favorite lightsaber in the Star Wars saga?
Ooh, non-canon or canon?
Doesn't matter.
Maris Brood.
Who's that?
Yeah, from... She was in Force Unleashed. She had the Tonfa lightsaber.
I barely remember that.
You barely remember? She had dual ones. They were Tonfa style, and they shot up. It was different, but it was kind of cool.
I have to go back and play the game. Frank?
The first one you ever see.
Luke's?
Yep.
The one that killed 20 kids?
Yep. But we didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
But no, because that's the first time we saw it. Remember? Oh, that's okay. Another one of those. It has to be one of our favorite moments when that lights up and we're like, whoa.
You got to listen to this episode of Rebel Ray to find out what my favorite lightsaber was. I'm just thank God that Frank didn't tell us something else was his favorite lightsaber. Here on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from the same. And you're listening to...
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
Welcome to the latest episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. This is your host, Mark, a little under the weather, but I'm going to tough it out. And with me, as always, are the Padawan learners.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
And Frank sounds like he's got a rabbit in his throat or something there.
No, y'all said I talk too loud, so I'm whispering.
This is our first episode leading to Star Wars The Force Awakens on December 18th. We're joining with The Warp Cave, our sister podcast, which you can find at Trust Me, a Jedi, and at thewarpcave.com, and The Evil Dr. Tran, to bring you a series of Star Wars shows leading up to the grand unveiling of J.J. Abrams' new film presented by the world of Disney on December 18th. And everyone is excited about it, of course, the entire world. They're making insane predictions that the movie is going to make $600 million its opening weekend, which
is impossible.
It may make $600 million worldwide opening weekend, but not domestically. that's impossible.
It's going to flop.
Do you guys already have your tickets?
Not yet.
No.
I already got four tickets.
This coming weekend, I'm hoping to get mine. But...
I'll see it when I see it.
The Force Awakens is coming, and so we are going to bring you, of course, TrustMeI'mAJedi.com is obviously inspired by Star Wars. So is the Rebel Radio Podcast, you know, some rebels on the planet Earth here that we are. Yeah, we're so rebellious, you know, maybe in our teenage years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we're going to bring you these shows leading up to The Force Awakens, and we're going to be talking various things in the Star Wars universe that we grew up. We're going to talk about the films, collectibles, video games, and other things that we grew up with, like the expanded universe and video games, comic books, and eventually we're going to rank the films and break them all down, what we think are our favorites. But this first show, we're going to kind of bring to you the talk about the films themselves a little bit, and that we're going to start with the original trilogy, and then we're going to talk about the prequels, whether you love or hate relationships with those, and what they meant to us when we were growing up, because obviously we're very inspired by Star Wars, as we've already said. And most people that listen to our show, we think, like Star Wars. I haven't ran into too many people over the years that don't like Star Wars. They're usually people that just aren't that into the genre that we are into. And that's okay. Right. It's not everybody likes everything. I don't like everything. You know, I've never been a big fan of certain things that are on television nowadays. You know, there's some shows I don't like that people think are so good and popular. But it is what it is. But... Star Wars, though, has obviously been around for almost 40 years now, and we're getting a new trilogy of films. We're getting episodes 7, 8, 9, and we're getting at least three that we know of spinoff films, starting with Rogue One late next year. And so it's an exciting time to be a Star Wars fan, and I think the excitement level may be higher than I ever remember it in my life.
But don't get too excited. Those people that like to dress up to go to the movies, Cinemark is not allowing masks or face paint or lightsabers. So that kind of snips at least one nut off, right?
Why are we worried about Jedi terrorists?
Well, I guess in the times we live in, I mean, it is what it is. Jedi are the terrorists,
Frank.
You know, but Regardless, you know, the fever pitch is at a super excitement. I think everyone's ready to see the film with the newest trailer hitting last week. But we could not have gotten here without a little film that came out in 1977 called Star Wars. And yes, at the time it was called Star Wars. It was not called A New Hope yet, okay? People forget that. The original crawl just said Star Wars, Episode 4. Didn't really say anything else. People were like, why is it called Episode 4? And later on, they went in, they added A New Hope to it when they made The Empire Strikes Back in some of the re-releases of the film. And, of course, Matt, you weren't even born yet. Frank and I were very little when Star Wars comes out. But my earliest memories are, I remember my dad taking me, I think it was during the re-release, because back then, you didn't have Blu-ray 3 months after a film hit theaters. So they would re-release films in theaters quite often, like several times. Star Wars probably played in theaters in and out for 3 or 4 years. And I think my dad, I was only one when Star Wars hit theaters, and not even one yet. But I think later on in the re-release, maybe I was two or so, I remember my dad taking me and staying in line a long time to see the space saga that everyone was talking about. And of course, everyone has seen the pictures of the Chinese theater in California with the premiere, people dressed up like C-3PO and all this stuff that was going on for this little film that was just getting a huge buzz through some screenings and stuff about how good of a space saga it was. And that's probably my earliest memory of Star Wars. And I think, like a lot of people, I remember seeing the film and reading the little books with tape back then. We didn't have CDs. We had books with tape, or sometimes books with a little 45 vinyl, right? And everyone swears the big scenes were in the movie in the desert, which they never were, but they were in, like, the storybooks. And I remember in the storybooks there was a scene where Luke is talking to Biggs in the desert, and when you're a child, it made that get in your mind that that was in the actual film, but it never was. And I remember getting some figures, you know, I wanted the Millennium Falcon just like everyone else, and those are some of my early memories from Star Wars. Frank, I know you're around just a little bit older than me.
My first memory of actually seeing it was at a drive-in theater, and that no longer exists. The Toys R Us was built on top of the property, and now that's no longer there either. But yeah, going to the drive-in to see Star Wars was my earliest memories. And speaking about the scene where he's talking to Biggs in the desert, I actually have a picture book that's probably about as old as the movie, color picture book, where there's actually that frame picture of them talking in the desert. You know, so yeah, I know that scene exists. It's just not in the movie.
And it exists now in the recent Blu-ray releases. They did put all those deleted scenes onto the Blu-rays so that people could see them. Because for years they weren't available, and they came out with a little CD-ROM back in like 99, 2000 when the prequels came out and when CD-ROMs were popular. And they actually had some of those deleted scenes on the CD-ROM, and those were the first time they were ever released back then until they came out on the Blu-ray editions a couple years ago. Any other Star Wars memories, Frank, before passing on to Matt? Or?
No, I just remember when I was, you know, young, my mom and bought my aunt and my aunt bought my cousin and I so much Star Wars stuff. I won't get into what happened to my Star Wars stuff, so I'll pass on the memory moment to Matt.
All right. Well, I didn't get to see Star Wars. I knew what Star Wars was because my uncle, he lived with us for a little bit while he was in high school. And my uncle had the original Star Wars toys.
What year were you born?
I was born in 86.
So the entire trilogy was already out at that point.
It was already out. So I got to play with my uncle's toys. I knew what the toys were. I knew the names. I just didn't know the movie until the re-releases came out. Now, I went to the theaters for that, and that was cool.
I'm talking 1997?
Talking 97.
But you had seen the movies before then.
You hadn't seen the movies before
then? I don't
think
so. You didn't see the movies until you were 10 years old?
Wow. Really?
Yeah. It just makes me feel old.
But I thought it was cool seeing it, you know, in the theaters for the first time. That was the first time I'd ever seen it because it's like you get the whole effect. I feel like if you're going to have a, you know, a big effect from watching a movie, it should be seen in a theater, big screen, you know, the sound pumping. And I love the Jedi. I liked action. So, of course, I liked the sword fighting. And I liked that aspect of it because, you know, you never see a lightsaber, you know, or a beam kind of sword or a laser sword or anything in any other sci-fi flick. You see lasers and stuff, but, you know, these guys, they could, you know, you block lasers. And those were my memories and the toys. And, of course, after I watched those movies, my uncle took me and I think my first Star Wars toy was a Rebel Pilot Luke. So because everything else was like bought out, and once they released all the new figures from the re-releases.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We're gonna do an entire episode of one of these Road to the Force Awakens shows where we just talk collectibles. Not an entire show. It's gonna be half and half collectibles and video games. We will be talking that, but those are good memories to share now. We'll expand on that when we do our video game and collectibles show, and you know, and when we watch these original films, everyone has their favorite moments. You mentioned seeing the special editions. We're going to talk to the special editions here in just a bit. But first, we'll stay with you, Matt. What were some of your favorite moments of the original trilogy? Just scenes or moments that stood out to you?
As a whole, or we're still talking about episode four?
As a whole trilogy, yeah. Because, I mean, those are our earliest Star Wars memories. And then, you're right, we kind of jumped a little bit there. But I think after I saw Star Wars as my earliest memories, it was all over from there. I remember seeing Empire. I remember seeing Return of the Jedi for my birthday that summer. Because, yes, it came out in May, but I have an August birthday. And I remember my mom taking me and several kids. That's what I wanted to do for my birthday, was see Return of the Jedi. Because back then, lo and behold, it was still in theaters in August. Nowadays, that wouldn't even happen. It'd be gone by August.
If it's a good movie, it stays
even
there for
then
a month,
it's super rare. It would have been out on video already.
Yeah.
And I remember in the summer of '83 seeing Return of the Jedi for my birthday. And so there's another one, another deleted scene. Like, I swear I remember growing up seeing the scene where 3PO rips the thing off an Empire and lets the Wampas out. But again, it was in the storybooks. The storybooks had that scene where 3PO rips it off, and it puts in your head that you saw that.
Yes.
And real quick, before we go into our favorite moments, your favorite Empire and Jedi memories when you first saw those.
When I first saw
you were probably the special editions, huh?
Yeah, so I really liked Luke fighting the Rancor. I thought that was
cool. Jedi?
Of course, my memory of, for this, you know, episode four was when, you know, Obi-Wan got killed. As a kid, that was like, no, not the old guy.
Is that one of your favorite moments?
My favorite moment was when they were in the trash compactor. Well, and R2 saved them.
So do you have any memories of first seeing Empire or Jedi? Besides favorite moments of the film?
Actually, no, other than...
Or was it kind of like you, after you saw Star Wars, that was it? You just wanted to see the other ones growing up?
Yeah, because I really don't remember where I saw the other two at. I remember just, for some reason, Star Wars... I had to drive in. Sticks in my mind, but the other two I don't remember.
I don't remember where we saw Empire. I know the Jedi screening was at a little theater on Gessner and Westheimer, which is no longer there. And I remember that. I just, for some reason, that sticks in my mind, seeing a movie there. And I think because that theater stayed open into the 90s, so I was able to go there for a long time, even after I saw Jedi there. And
but where was this at?
It was at Westheimer and Gessner.
Wow, you know how many movies... Didn't it become a dollar theater?
Well, they moved it across the street. It used to be over on the Randall side, and then they moved it across the street and built a dollar theater over there where the Kroger is.
Oh, because the dollar theater, man, I went and saw so many movies there.
I saw
Breaking 1 and 2, but that's a whole other
trilogy.
I think
you and I saw a few movies at that dollar theater.
We might have.
Because it just closed about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so those are some of our early Star Wars memories. And we were getting off a little bit there, our favorite moments. You mentioned... maybe not a favorite moment because Obi-Wan dies, but something that sticks out to you.
Yeah, just like I said, at when they were in the trash compactor and they get saved, you know, and you're like, yeah! You know, because you thought they were going to get... Yeah, as a little kid, you think
it was dramatic.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Luke getting his hand cut off, you know, was not like a favorable moment, but like one of those, oh, wow, like the fight scene and everything. And then, of course, and again, you know, the big fight scene and like pretty much... You know, everybody's like, Empire Strikes Back, Empire Strikes Back. I honestly love Return of the Jedi the most. Then it's Empire Strikes Back, then Star Wars. I'm sorry, I go reverse, which, you know, most people, just because I love all the battle scenes that was in Return of the Jedi.
And it's epic, man. He's
even with the Ewoks.
I'm a Empire's Jedi, a like my father before me.
Yeah.
But, Matt, what's some of your moments that stuck out in the original trilogy for you?
Oh, man. I'd have to say, Luke and the Blast Shield. I like that moment. That was one of the... I know it's, like, weird, but, you know, Luke in the blast shield, with the blast shield helmet down, and he's just barely learning how to use the Force.
It's like you when you're learning to use the bathroom.
Oh, you mean the sword that his dad killed a bunch of, like, Padawans with?
Yes, yes. Your son, your father, he killed 17 younglings with his sword. The blood will be forever on your hands.
One of my favorite moments of the original... Yeah. One of my favorite moments of the original trilogy, and, I love the ending of Empire, which is obviously classic, with Han being frozen, taken away by Boba Fett. It feels like, after episode four being A New Hope, it feels like the Empire, at the end of Empire, we have no hope. And one of my other favorite moments is a very small moment, and it's when Luke is on the skiff in Return of the Jedi, and he does a little head thing to R2, and he jumps down, and he gets up, and he lands, and he catches the green lightsaber. I immediately wanted a green lightsaber when I was a kid. I was like, that's awesome. It's not blue or red. I want a green lightsaber. And I still, to this day, get kind of excited on that scene when Luke's going to jump and he catches the green lightsaber. And it's so cool. And I was so happy when the Star Wars The Clone Wars did a tribute to that in an episode. There's an episode where Anakin gets captured and they kind of do the same thing where he jumps off this thing and lands and he points to the R2 and R2 shoots the saber at him. And it was a really cool tribute to the Return of the Jedi scene. Mm-hmm. And those are probably my two favorite moments. And then I love the this is one of the special edition moments, but it's a perfect segue to going into the special editions. It's the moment they added with Biggs in the special edition at the end where he runs into Biggs at the X-Wing at the on Yavin, and he says, "Oh, you finally made it, Luke." And he's like, "Yeah, I told you I'd be up there someday." And it brings a little more to Biggs' death when he dies in space, you know, and I really like that scene. I'm glad they added that in.
Yeah.
And so that leads us to the special editions, which have been a bit controversial over the almost 20 years since they've been out, believe it or not. And I'm one of the supporters of the special editions. I've never really had issues with it. Some of the CGI is a little maybe too much. I'm glad that by the time they got to the Blu-rays, they were able to fix the Jabba scene. It looks much better now than it did when it came out in theaters in 97. Now that it's on Blu-ray, it actually looks good. It doesn't look as fake where Han steps over him. And that's a really cool scene just to see Boba Fett standing there, you know. And I like the Dewbacks being able to move and stuff and not just being standstill puppets. But I also understand the nostalgic of the original films and that people want to see them for what they were. But I also am one of those people that being that I believe that art can be changed and I don't have so much of a problem that Lucas made some changes. There are some things that are a little silly, like the musical thing in Return of the Jedi. It's a little kind of ridiculous, you know? And excuse me, like I said, I'm a little under the water there. But overall, I like Bespin, where they opened up the windows and stuff, and it made Bespin look like a big escaping city in the background. And Matt, have you actually ever even seen the originals without the special edition stuff in it?
Not without the special editions. You
know, you'd have to track them down on VHS.
Whenever I first bought like the all the movies, they were all the special edition remastered.
And
everything.
They are actually available on DVD. People don't know this. And when they released the films on DVD back in 99 or 2000 when the Phantom Menace came out, people griped about them not being available. And then they were only available in a box set. And a couple years later, 2002-ish, 3-ish, they released individual copies of Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. And on the second disc of the DVD did have a copy that they didn't remaster anything, but they took it from the VHS and put it on the DVD so people could have an original copy. And you can usually track those down in half-price books and stuff. So they actually do exist. I've seen people on the internet that argue that they don't exist. They're only on Laserdisc. No, the DVD copies of the original trilogy do exist.
See, my thing is the special editions with all the new, you know, added stuff is fine. Like you said, the open scenery looks cool and everything. Certain little too much CGI. I like the originals because I like to point out to people, like, look what they were capable of doing back then. These are people that laid the groundwork that brought us to where we are nowadays.
And I agree with that. But you also look at what he did in the special editions, especially the Mos Eisley scene in A New Hope. He didn't take away from that. He added a few creatures and droids in the background, made the Dewbacks move. But the cantina is still all creature mask and stuff. And, you know, so he didn't – I felt George and the crew of Industrial Light Magic did a good job of not taking away from that too much. I felt it was taken away more in Jedi during the musical scene because it just – it looks too – like CGI-ish. Like the stuff they did in Mos Eisley was kind of in the background. It just made the city look more alive, where this musical scene in Jedi, it just sticks out to you. And you're like, okay, this just looks really bad in the middle of the film, you know. And
it's like totally unnecessary.
And I didn't mind the Sarlacc being more alive. Than just a standstill desert puppet.
Yeah. I mean, and when it comes to like certain characters, that's fine. But like, I'm like anybody. I'm a practical effects guy. Like when it comes to watching it, you know, I like puppets. I like
Jim Henson.
Yes. Yeah. I grew up with Jim Henson stuff, so I love puppets.
Well,
you know, I love the goofiness. I've taken to watch it. You know. The Muppets are on TV, so I'm watching that and enjoying the puppets, you know, because that just reminds me of being a kid.
I actually, one of my biggest things I have with the changes that George has made over the years was more the Blu-ray releases and the special editions that he, like going in and changing Boba Fett's voice to Temuera Morrison, which, no disrespect to Temuera Morrison, because he played Jango and he did the clone and everything, and he wanted the clones to all sound like the same, making it that Boba Fett was his child. But I just, it wasn't necessary. You could have left the original voice of Boba Fett, "You're no good to me, Dad." And you hear, when you first heard Temuera Morrison's voice in the Blu-ray release, you're like, what? You know, and of course the famous Darth Vader yelling, "No," at the end of Jedi is a little ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
People complain about him adding the scream to Luke in Bespin where he falls down. I really don't have an issue with that, and I think he, if I remember right, he took it back out on the Blu-ray.
Huh.
But, I mean, if you're falling to your death, most people are going to scream. You know, the Darth Vader no is kind of a little cheesy. And so there's certain things I don't like, but I think...
You never said anything about Hayden Christensen.
Oh, yeah, that I don't like either.
You don't
Hayden,
like that?
I don't like Hayden being added in. The actor,
I don't like that
Sebastian
either.
Shaw did a good job playing older Anakin. He should have left that in. I understand it's a continuity thing because Anakin died when he was younger, but it's not necessary. You know,
you're just like the people that didn't, you know, grant Hayden Christensen the rank of master, but let him on the council.
It's just like the CGR Arnold in Terminator Salvation. It just wasn't necessary. You know, it's some things just leave alone. You know, but overall, I think this minority of people have not accepted the special editions over the years. I think you get a few people that are close to me and Frank Hayes that are still like hardcore. Hoorah! I need my originals. If they get released, they get released. If they don't, people, it is what it is. I don't think it's going to keep anyone from watching Star Wars. I think most people have accepted the special editions over the years for what they are. And before we move to the prequels, real quick and short, what was the ultimate impact that the original Star Wars trilogy has had on both of you?
I mean, it made you... I think it left like a wanting, like just this wanting feeling to want more films afterwards. And I know, like, right after they were released, we didn't get more films until the prequels, and then...
But when you first saw them, though, we did know the prequels were coming at that point, in 97. They had announced them.
Oh, yeah, I remember the posters coming out, you know, with, you know, Anakin, you know, as a child.
Which we're going to discuss here in a minute.
Shadow And it had Darth Vader in that shadow. I remember that, but it made you... It left you with wanting more.
Right.
More of the story, wanting to know more.
Which we're getting.
Which we are
getting. Yeah, that's why, you know, I think it's neat about this one, because I did. I was always like, well, what happened afterwards?
Right.
You know, that's why I would like the books that, like, now aren't part of the story, but at the time were part of the story of, like, stuff that happened afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, a trilogy that involves, you know, Lando, that I thought was a really good trilogy that apparently now isn't going to exist, but it was pretty cool. There was another, a clone Sith Lord.
Well, yes, we're going to do an episode with Expanding Universe stuff, too, so we will have time to talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, so what was the ultimate impact the original trilogy had on you, Frank?
Just I don't know, just a fun and excitement, you know?
It was one of those movies that, if you didn't like sci-fi films... It probably converted you into a sci-fi fanatic.
For me, the reasons could be obvious for people that know me. I mean, obviously, my website and that I've created is TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. I'm probably a huge film fan and have a huge film library because of Star Wars. And I'm a huge Star Wars collector. I've got a huge collection. And so I think the impact is, maybe that seem like simple words unless people really know me, but I guarantee you the host of Rebel Radio is directly impacted by Star Wars every day in his life.
I do have a question.
I had a rabbit named Chewie once, even.
I do have a question. Why is it as kids we want to be Jedi, but some reason as adults we want to be Sith Lords?
I still want to be a Jedi.
But no, we still want to be a Jedi, but then we also kind of want to be a Sith Lord. It's kind of like we want to be a Jedi because, you know, Jedis are good, but then at times when people make us bad, we kind of just want to be able to, like, choke them.
Let the anger flow.
Electrocute them a little bit. You know?
Force lightning is the coolest force power ever.
Especially when you're at work.
That's got to be the coolest force power, right?
It could be.
Lightning?
Yeah.
I mean, force push is cool. I mean, that's cool. But we've seen telekinesis before. I want casting force lightning,
bitch slap.
I mean, only Raiden was able to do that in Storm. So that's like, that's a whole nother
level. They're not even as cool as Jedi.
No, they're not.
No. So that's our thoughts on the original trilogy, and we're going to talk about the prequels here next on The Road to the Force Awakens on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Walter Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
So we continue the road to The Force Awakens here on the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeOnTheJedi.com. Before I go further, make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, and all that good stuff so that you don't miss anything that's going on in the latest world of nerdism and stuff.
Wait, did you mention Instagram?
Oh, we've got all that. Instagram.
And Facebook.
Tumblr. And Tumblr seems to be sometimes a little more adult section of our website. Ooh. I just put some Sarah Underwood Star Wars pictures that people might want to look at. They're pretty fancy.
Is she holding a special lightsaber?
Yeah, they're pretty safe for work. Nothing.
Yeah, they're safe for work,
but they're just a little.
Oh, so they suck.
We keep them off the family friendly website.
Yeah.
And then we put those on the Tumblr. So we're doing the Road to the Force Awakens as we're a few weeks away from the Star Wars Episode 7 as we return to the galaxy far, far away. And we just got finished talking about the original films. And as we move forward, we're going to be talking about collectibles and video games and expanding universe and ranking the films and all kinds of stuff on these next few episodes. Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. And we may take some interludes to talk about things that are going on in the world, you know, because everyone's expecting a new Batman Superman trailer soon. We'll probably discuss that, obviously. But it's going to be a lot of Star Wars. And next up, we're going to talk the prequel trilogy. And we all know how the prequels are looked out over the last, you know, 15 years since Phantom Menace at theaters. Some people love them. Some people hate them. Most people, I think, are in the middle with them. They just accept that, you know, they're Star Wars and they are what they are. I remember seeing The Phantom Menace in 1999, and, well, let's go back to my first memories. When I saw the poster, you mentioned it earlier in the show, the poster with Anakin and the shadow of Darth Vader.
Yes.
Fantastic poster. It honestly is still one of my favorite Star Wars posters. Even Phantom Menace isn't one of my favorite movies. I think that poster was perfect because it's what we wanted at the time. We're thinking, man, we're going to see the fall of this kid become Darth Vader. It got your blood boiling, got your thoughts going. You're like, wow, what is this going to be like to see this young boy who's innocent grow up and turn into this evil master villain? You know, and I think that poster captured that. I remember seeing it, and I have a copy of it. I had to order it from StarWars.com. I was like, man, I got to order that poster because I wanted it. And then, of course, the trailer came out shortly after the poster. And remember, you could go see Brad Pitt's Meet Joe Black just to see the trailer.
Yeah.
Joe Black got a bump in box office that weekend just because people were going and seeing the trailer and walking out of the theaters.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I think I just waited and watched it online or something. You know, I think it hit online that Monday. I was like, I can wait a couple days.
Yeah.
You know, and but those are my first memories. I remember hearing the casting, Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman, Liam Neeson, all really good young actors. And, well, Liam wasn't so young at the time, but he was still considered a good actor, and it made you kind of excited about what was being put together. And we heard that George was going to direct it and write it. And at the time, no one knew anything about Jar Jar or how silly it was going to be. We were just excited to get a new Star Wars film in 1999.
Definitely. I mean, it was finally, you know, we were able to see kind of the background of what happened because you wanted the backstory. You wanted to see how all of the original trilogy came to be. And, you know, we got, as you know, when I watched it, it was fully entertaining to me. You know, I didn't think much of Jar Jar. I wasn't a big fan of Jar Jar, but, you know, I wasn't so down on him like a lot of other people were. I just, you know, you put in some cool fight scenes, and I was like, man.
You were also only about 13 when it came out. So you, Jar Jar was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't hate Jar Jar as much as everybody else. Yeah, a little too goofy at times. Certain scenes just kind of unnecessary. But overall, it isn't like a horrible as everybody makes them out to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just want to hate on the movies, but they don't want to hate on the movie, so they just pick Jar Jar to pick on.
Scapegoat.
Yeah, he's the scapegoat for how not great the movies are. They're not horrible movies. They ain't great as the ones that we grew up with. Well, Mark and I grew up with. These are the ones you technically grew up with.
But go back a little bit to fall of 1998, when we first saw the trailers and the posters. What were your first thoughts, Frank?
Hell yeah!
This red guy with the mask, we didn't know who he wore, not the mask, with the skull horns, we didn't know who he was.
Badass looking.
We're like, well, who's this guy? You know,
and, dual lightsaber look.
Yeah, the double lightsaber was cool.
Yeah.
And it's still one of the great fight scenes. One of the great fight scenes of the prequels is that fight scene with the Duel of the Fates music in the background. And so I think that was the biggest impact was like, oh, wow, we're getting more Star Wars. This is exciting. And I actually was fortunate enough to see the film 11 days early. I was part of the Star Wars fan club. Yes, you know, ultimate nerd here. And I got an envelope in the mail, and I'm like, look in it, and it's like two tickets to see the Phantom Menace for that night. I'm like, holy cow.
And Mark had to change his underwear.
So I called a friend of mine up, because I didn't actually know you guys at the time, and I called my buddy Mark. I was like, dude, I have tickets to see the movie. And he's like, no way. Yes, his name was Mark, too.
And then he had to change his underwear.
We went, and it was some theater way good distance from us, but we drove out there, and all those people were camping in line, you know, with their little tents and their smelly clothes, you know. And we're just walking right past them, like, in Wayne's World. Look, we got tickets. Yeah. What's up, dudes? And we went in, and they came out and talked to us, and, you know, told us, they didn't make us sign a cease and desist, but they said, you know, don't put anything on the internet, no pictures and all this stuff. And the tickets had a glow-in-the-dark thing on. They had to shine a light on them to see if they were real. And it was very cool. I remember, like, people from Channel 13 News were sitting behind me, and some other local media was there. It was like, this is really cool. I'm seeing Star Wars. And then the opening crawl started, and it comes on, the Phantom Menace, and you're just taken back into that world immediately. And again, like you said, when I walked out of the theater, I didn't think much of Jar Jar. I didn't think much of anything. I'm like, well, I just saw the new Star Wars film.
But let's be honest. Back then, when the whole, you know, oh, don't talk about it on the internet it was big, but it wasn't as big as it is now.
No, but it was still getting there. 99, around that time, was a big breakout for the internet.
Well, it wasn't as accessible. But you didn't, I'll give you
But what now you have, just was your even phone. You know, you didn't have your phones, you know, you didn't have Facebook. You had maybe MySpace then.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, people still had to get their computers.
I've only been to two press screenings like that. The other one was for Minority Report, and Minority Report didn't even have opening and closing credits because they hadn't finished them yet.
I thought we saw Viva Vendetta together as a press.
That was just an opening night thing. Yeah.
I thought it was just a select group.
Opening night. But yeah, Minority Report is the only other one I saw, and it didn't even have opening and closing credits because they hadn't finished the film yet. The effects were done, they just hadn't done the credits. And so yeah, I got to see The Phantom Menace 11 days early, and that was a lasting impact, still one of my greatest Star Wars memories ever, to get to see the new Star Wars film that early. And then I had already bought tickets to see the film the next week, opening night, and when I saw it the second time, I remember saying, man, this isn't as cool as it was last week. I started thinking, it's kind of like the scene at the end of Fanboys, the movie, where they sit down to watch, you're like, what if it sucks? I want to say Phantom Menace sucks, but I actually like it better than Attack of the Clones, but we're not going to rank the films right now. That's for a later show. But we watched it the second time, and the third time you start realizing, like, some of the dialogue is even more wooden than the original trilogy. Jake Lloyd and his yippee lines are ridiculous. That actually annoys me more than Jar Jar and jumping off the table saying yippee. The whole political plot line is just absurd for Star Wars. Star Wars needs to be about rebels and empires. That's what it should be about, not political undertakings.
But wasn't the Empire a government? And they were getting rid of all the senators?
It was, but one thing they did a good job in the original trilogy is the Empire, it just was. And you have the rebellion fighting against it. You didn't need to know how they got there. You didn't need to have senators.
They did produce it more like a police task force kind of.
You didn't need to have senators jumbling in a huge room. And that wasn't Star Wars to me, you know. And those scenes still bug me to this day.
But I think they had to establish that so they could see the fall of the Republic. Remember, this is how democracy dies.
To an extent.
And how else did you know that E.T. would fit into that universe otherwise?
E.T.
And that gets into my next thing. It's like, We talked about the prequels, and then let's move from the Phantom Menace. The Attack of the Clones came out, where Hayden Christensen is cast as the older Anakin Skywalker. Everyone's first reaction was, who?
Who?
No one knew who he was. He's honestly pretty terrible in that movie. He does better in Revenge of the Sith. But
yes. But he really shines in Clone Wars, the animated series.
Well, that's not him.
Oh, well, then never mind.
Darn.
He's still a better job.
The whole Tusken Raider scene and stuff is pretty bad. It's that I could go on and on about Attack of the Clones and the things I hate about it. I don't mind Natalie and the dresses she wears in it, that's for sure.
Natalie
and I don't mind Christopher Lee playing a Sith Lord. I mean, he's the late, great Christopher Lee. You know, I don't have a problem with him being in the film. Ewan McGregor, at this point, is owning Obi-Wan. He figured it out. By the time he gets to Attack of the Clones, Ewan is the best thing in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he owns playing a young Alec McGinnis. He's fantastic throughout the rest of the films, you know, that he does. But Attack of the Clones, to me, is the weakest of the three prequels. The ending battle in Geonosis is like all these Jedi there, and then like the battle droids come in, and the choreography of the whole scene is just, go back and watch this, people. You have Jedi just falling over, and it's like, okay, did they get shot? It's a terrible.
I didn't notice that.
It's a terribly shot scene at the end. The choreographer is awful. It's all about Mace and Obi-Wan and Natalie Portman and their fight and Anakin's. It's just it's like, I don't know, Attack of the Clones felt like the rushed film of the three to me.
Well, you know? I'll be honest. Here's my issue with all three of them. It just felt like Lucas went in and said, I can create this special effect, this fight scene, this special effect, this special effect, well, this fight Attack scene. Of the Clones. And yeah. then I'm going to write a story around all of this. It was like he just went in with his special effects guys and says, what special effects can we make? And I'll write a movie around it.
And then we get to Revenge of the Sith, which comes together as probably the best film of the prequels. It's got its moments where Mace is, you will not fight the oppression of the Sith, you know, or whatever he says. It's ridiculous dialogue. And that whole scene bothers me where four Jedi walk in there to take out, you know, to arrest him. And this old man, yes, he's a Sith Lord, but he jumps over, takes out all four other Jedi except for Mace in one shot. It's like, wait, this was set up perfectly for what could have been an awesome battle. And it's like, that's it? Snap your fingers and it's just Mace versus Sidious? It's just like...
Yeah.
Him fighting four Jedi would have been a lot cooler than just like, wop, 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 wop. Okay, now we're going to talk and stare at each other.
Overall... I like Revenge of the Sith a lot. Natalie Portman, at this point, she's trying very hard to be a distraught, you know, soon-to-be widow, or whatever she becomes.
Yeah.
There's things I like. The Order 66, the idea of the clones taking out the Jedi, I didn't have problems with that. I like a lot of things I like about Revenge of the Sith. It is, like I said, I think the best of the prequels. I think the fight at the end between Obi-Wan and Anakin is right up there with Luke and Vader and Jedi as one of the top three battles in the trilogy. You know? And it helped with that film because Lucas brought in other writers to help him. And it showed that it made Revenge of the Sith a little better film than the other two prequels.
Oh, because they came in and wrote an actual story and then did special effects afterwards.
And you took out a lot of the political stuff in Revenge of the Sith. You had a little bit of it where Jar Jar makes the vote to hand over the power of the clone army to the, Galactic Republic. Or what was it called? The Separatists.
Yeah.
But... you didn't have too much of it, and I think that's why Revenge of the Sith plays better. It plays more of an adventure film, you know, where Obi-Wan goes to Yuppie and fights Grievous and all that.
And come on, some cool space battles.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I did not like that. They made Grievous all sick. It's like, I wanted to see Grievous at full strength, but I guess it would be hard for any Jedi to take
And that
out.
Is the perfect lead-in to our next part of this little segment about the prequel trilogies, Matt. Way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did good there.
Thank you.
Is what would we have done differently? And that is one of my number one things I would have done differently. I would have introduced Grievous in Attack of the Clones. Because you had Dooku, right? But he wasn't powerful. He was in the background. He was pulling strings, capturing Obi-Wan and all that. And you didn't have... It felt like you needed another villain in Attack of the Clones, other than the droid army. And maybe you introduce Grievous a little bit earlier, and then it makes his story arc a little stronger when Obi-Wan kills him. You know, and I felt that was one thing I would have done differently. I would have had Anakin not age as quickly from Episode 1 to 2. I would have maybe gone with a 12- or 13-year-old Anakin in Episode 2. That's something I may have done differently. Or the opposite of that, start Anakin already older. Never see him as a boy.
Yeah.
You know, start the prequels where he's already older and...
At least 15.
Do something different in the Star Wars trilogy. Use flashbacks. Zack Snyder wasn't afraid to do it in Man of Steel. Use flashbacks to show Anakin when he was young. Yeah. You know, and the things he went through and Qui-Gon finding him. And that's another thing. Don't kill Qui-Gon and Darth Maul in Episode 1. One of them, okay, but you killed two of your strongest characters early in that trilogy. Which you could have brought back, you know, for the future films.
I think Darth Maul should have stayed in there for another
episode. Like I said, either him or Qui-Gon, one of the two, I would have brought back for another film.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep saying what I would have done differently. What would y'all have done differently in the prequel trilogy?
Like, I mean, I watched some of the edited stuff that they put on the DVDs, and some of the storylines between Anakin and Padme, I would have left in there. Yeah, I would have made the films a little bit longer, but in some special extended edition, I think it would have helped their...
Like the lovey-dovey scenes?
Yes!
You didn't get enough of that in Attack of the Clones with Anakin, oh, the flowers, oh, yeah,
but it just...
oh, we can't just run away.
Their whole
love
story just felt like super rushed. It was just like, hey, I love you. Now you're knocked up. Hey, Luke and Leia, see you later on.
Leave it to Frank D. Biscuit to be the only one probably on the planet that wants more Anakin Padme sop scenes. Go watch Going with the Wind.
No, like it's like a whole 5 minutes. It's a whole 5 minutes that would have helped their
When was the last time you watched Attack together. Of the Clones? Go watch it. You don't need more Anakin Padme scenes in Attack of the Clones.
But the
me.
Scenes that they left in those movies sucked. The ones they took out were actually better. It was more. It was more personal and like family in scenarios to where you could actually see why they fell in love. To me, and what they left in the movies, I was like, okay. I was like,
well, I mean, who couldn't love now?
Other than you know, her being hot and him being a Jedi, what was the attraction to each other?
She liked his lightsaber. You know?
Exactly.
He whipped it out, and she's like, "Whoa!
I've never seen a Jedi."
What colors was his?
What would you have done anything different with the prequels, man?
Oh yeah, I mean a few things, like small things, like Grievous being healthy, you know, because he was already hindered, and if you remember Clone Wars, the 15-minute movies,
yeah, which he gets beat up, and it kind of shows that he was sick. Yeah,
yeah, it did show that he was sick at the end because he took on 4 Jedi at once,
right?
And you know, he did get a run for his money, but.
I think they took for granted that in 2004 that every Star Wars fan was watching that cartoon. It would know that that's why Grievous is busted up seeing Revenge of the Sith. Right. You know?
But it came out on Cartoon Network and not everyone watched it.
Right.
But that getting Darth Maul killed off early, I know we had Count Dooku or Darth Tyrannus. He's also known as Darth Tyrannus in number 2. I felt like you needed that evil, you know,
to go along. Yeah, I think killing him off was about fell in that same category as when they kind of killed off Boba Fett in Return of the Jedi. They didn't realize how powerful like this character would be as far as when it came to the fan base.
Yeah,
they didn't think ahead about like that people will take to this character and want to see more of it.
Every time Ray Parks walks into a comic book convention comic palooza event type thing, they always want him to do his.
Well, and speaking about that, Mark and I were action film fans, so we knew who he was. Mm-hmm. So, like when Mark told me who was playing that part, I was like, "Oh, really? That's pretty dang cool." Because under the makeup, when I first saw the picture, I didn't know that was him. And then Mark told me who it was, and then we went and looked at some of the other stuff that he did. And
he's
I was
a short bastard, though.
Hmm? Yeah, yeah, but he's really good.
There's a couple of scenes where he's actually walking on high-heeled shoes and make him look taller next to Ian McDiarmid, you know, the actor who played Sidious and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, there's things that could have been done different about the prequels, but they are what they are, and we have them. And before we conclude talking about the prequels, well, the most important part of the film is the fall of Anakin. And I remember when Revenge of the Sith came out, I felt like the whole scene where Anakin goes in there to confront Sidious and he goes, well, you're the Sith. And he turns and says, okay, I pledge to you. I always felt it was a little rushed.
It was.
But the more I watch it, I accept it a little bit more. It's not as rushed as I really think it is, because if you really put yourself into the film, you can see Anakin leaning towards that way already. And questioning why I'm not a Jedi Knight. Well, yes, Clone Wars expands it greatly. But even if you take out Clone Wars and you watch just the prequel films, and if you watch them in order, yes, despite his bad acting in Attack of the Clones, you can see his dark side and leading towards it. And I'm okay with it now, you know, years later, because it was going to happen regardless. And would it have been handled a little differently? Maybe. But, you know, it is what it is with him falling to the dark side.
And then him... at the end, whenever he's turning into Vader, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that the whole last 20 minutes of Revenge of the Sith are actually very good.
My thing was, there was times in his acting he seemed a little whiny.
Well, yeah.
He's not a very good actor. I'm sorry, like, when it comes to Vader, I just don't picture Vader being this whiny person up to that point.
He wasn't Vader at that point.
And I think that's why, like, but I'm just saying, the person that he becomes, just the whininess... You know, it's like basically making a wimp a super powerful villain and being badass. You just don't get that vibe.
Yeah.
You know?
I see what Frank is saying.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It had to do with his acting.
And it did take away from how cool Darth Vader was for a while there. But I think now, 10 years later, people have kind of gotten over, so to speak.
No, what took away Darth Vader's coolness was the at the end of the movie. That's what ruined it. Well, made it horrible.
I don't even think enough people that impacted enough people to really worry too much about it, because they still have their original memories of the films. So that's our thoughts on the prequels and on this our road to the Force Awakens on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
So we are taking you on a journey, or the road to The Force Awakens, when the film hits theaters on December 18th. Star Wars is back in force, and here on the Rebel Radio Podcast, over the next several episodes, we're going to be covering a lot of Star Wars. We hope you enjoyed today listening to our thoughts on the original trilogy and the prequels. On future episodes, we're going to talk about our favorite Star Wars video games, collectibles, the expanded universe. We're going to rank the films and a whole lot more. And please listen to The Warp Cave, our sister podcast, as the evil Dr. Tran is going to do retrospectives on each film and break it down even more than we did today. We kind of did a one-episode retrospective, and he's going to break down each film one by one. And good luck, evil Dr. Tran, talking about Attack of the Clones for 30 minutes an hour. I don't even think I could do that.
No.
And So make sure you listen to his shows as we cross over, and we're going to try to get the evil Dr. Tran on one of our Star Wars shows to make it a real crossover, like they do in the comic books when Spider-Man crosses over with Fantastic Four, or something.
Yes.
Or all the comic books.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whenever he crosses over with Wolverine and calls...
So,
or he cross-dresses.
Yeah. This is our Star Wars episode, but we talked last week in our Halloween episode, or a couple weeks ago whenever we recorded it, about the first two episodes of The Walking Dead. And real quick, I want to get y'all's thoughts on the latest episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, man.
Is Glenn dead?
No, he is not.
Frank?
I don't know. I slept through it. No, just kidding. No, I doze off and on. I caught the end, or they're all around him, and I honestly did not want to go back and rewatch it, because I don't know. It's kind of like...
And it's funny, because by the time I release this episode, we may know.
Yeah.
But... You know, we want to bring it up anyway.
List a few of your reasons why. I mean, obviously, you know, the contract thing. I know you're
well, that, and in the comic books, he's not dead yet.
Yeah.
So that's why I'd be shocked.
I'm going by sheer character. I mean, look at this guy. He's been beaten down, man. So remember whenever he was released in the room with Meryl with a zombie, and he was tied up, and then he had to fight his way to his love?
He's got Maggie to live for.
Now, yeah.
I want to live for Maggie.
Hang on. I was talking to my cousin. Now, my cousin's thinking the only possible way whatsoever that he could have survived this is that the other guy fell on top of him.
Yes.
And what we're actually seeing them is them shredding the other guy apart, and that he was able to get up underneath the trash can or something.
Well, and think about
it. Or just get covered in blood and sneak out of there.
And number one, remember, that's what they did. They covered themselves in guts.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, he was able to do that and crawl up underneath the trash can.
Yeah. Because if you look at
because I brought up the whole blood thing.
If you look at the still shot, right before it cuts to the zombie scene where they're over him, you can see Nick falling on top. So,
well, that's what my cousin brought up.
So we'll see what happens on The Walking Dead.
We'll see. We got to learn tonight.
Maybe.
I mean, obviously.
You know, The Walking Dead, they've been doing these stories where they make you come back a couple weeks later and tell you what happened. So we'll see what happens.
Alexandria may be gone. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we could wind up with some flashbacks or a whole... We'd be like groups of other people. Could be funny. They could mess with our brains and do a whole flashback of nothing but him.
Oh, yeah.
And to make it to really sink in that he's dead, and we can see another dude cry on Talk of the Walking Dead.
Hey, Maggie, ever done it in a hayloft?
Well, we'll continue to talk The Walking Dead throughout this season on the Rebel Radio Podcast. And make sure you're following us. Like I said, TrustMeIJedi.com is for all your latest stuff. Facebook, Twitter, all those good things. Instagram, Tumblr, Pinterest. I mean, we've got it all. We cover it all.
That's right.
And we cover everything, like Frank and his kilt. Hopefully it covers everything.
Yeah, hopefully that covers,
So, any final thoughts as we continue forward to the journey to The Force Awakens? The road to The Force Awakens. I keep wanting to call it journey.
Yeah. Can't wait to get Dr. Tran on here, get his thoughts on a few things, and maybe for our video games, and maybe rating the prequels, get his opinion, and, you know, let's see what happens tonight on Walking Dead.
Nothing, Frank?
Nope, I think Frank. I said pretty much everything.
Get off porn on your phone, Frank.
Yeah, porn. No, just kidding. Star Wars porn. That's what I'm looking at, Star Wars.
This has been the Rebel Radio Podcast. With me are the... They're still Padawan learner bitches.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mark.
Darth Sidious.
This is Mark.
This is Mark with the...
Oh, you said
monkey.
Bitches. Oh. That's
why I said bitches. I was like, Frank T. Biscuit, Matt the Electric Monkey. This is Mark right here, and...
There's only one way to end this. May the Force be with you. Always. Always.
Hey, it's Alfonso Berry. Listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast.